Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 20. And in verse 6, the Word of God says, "Most men will proclaim one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find." Most men will proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Now, one of the reasons why Proverbs draws the contrast between a man who proclaims his own goodness and a faithful man is because my faithfulness is not something I can proclaim. I can proclaim my goodness, but I can't proclaim my faithfulness. My faithfulness is simply something that I volitionally enter into, but I can't proclaim it. And so the Word of God says that most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. I'd like to take a few minutes this morning to talk about that concept, that idea of a faithful man, a faithful man. The word faithful there is in the Hebrew the word iman. And it's used to signify, this is how the writers of the dictionaries, the scholars put it. It is used to signify the rare and beneficial quality of trustworthiness in an individual. Now, I think it's fascinating that he says a rare, that is the meaning of the word, a rare and beneficial quality. This is what Solomon is saying. A faithful man who can find. But most men proclaim that they are good men. So even though I proclaim that I may be a good man, it's a question whether I'm a faithful man. And that will not be revealed by what I proclaim. That is only revealed by my life, if I am a faithful man. Now, people sometimes say to themselves, why does God allow things to happen in my life? I am faithful to Him. Why does God allow things to happen in my life? Why does God allow me to go through these difficulties? Why does God allow me to go through certain types of trials or illnesses or whatever? And the reason is because I am a faithful man. If I am experiencing that in my life, it's because I'm a faithful man. And you may ask yourself, why? How does that connect? And it's because God sees me as trustworthy to reveal His character in that trial. And I will say, I don't reveal His character in that trial. But then you do not understand what really the faithfulness of God is and what a faithful man really is. Let's take a look at this. In Revelation 2:10, the Word of God says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." God puts a premium on faithfulness. God puts a premium on faithfulness. Actually, in truth, faithfulness is the number one characteristic that God is looking for in a man. He's looking for people who are faithful. He will not reject people who are not faithful. He will build those people. But a person who is going to be used in extraordinary ways by God, and every individual believer in Christ has the potential to be this person. The thing that they always have invariably is this one characteristic. They are faithful men. Now, let's take a look at Peter. Peter, we seem to know, because we identify him at times according to one moment of failure, we say he was not a faithful man. But that's not true. Peter was a faithful man, but he was a man who had some failure in his life. And his failure, by today's standards, we would not in our religious thinking say it was a major failure. He just said, "Oh, I don't know the man," in a moment of fear. But for some reason, in the pulpits, we still like to say, look at Peter, he denied Christ, and we use this example for grace. And while it is certainly applicable, why am I bringing up the fact that the man failed if I'm talking about grace? Peter was a faithful man. How do I know? Because despite the fact that Peter failed, Peter never left. Oh, he went back for a season to the fishing, to his natural ways, but that was a part of his failure. I didn't say he failed in just a few hours. He failed over a matter of days. But then again, Paul the great apostle failed over a matter of years. Abraham failed for 13 years. Paul the apostle failed for 11 years. And so Peter was a faithful man, and the fact that he denied Christ had nothing to do with his faithfulness. What really revealed his faithfulness was after he was indwelled by the Spirit. You see, those of us who look at Peter and say, well, Peter failed, he wasn't that faithful. Yeah, you have the advantage of being indwelled by the Holy Spirit right now when he was not. Because the Holy Spirit didn't start indwelling people until Pentecost. And so when the Comforter came and started indwelling, he wasn't doing that then. How many of us do that now, even though we do have the Holy Spirit in us? So let's not point our finger too harshly at Peter. Peter was a faithful man. And when he was beaten for preaching the gospel, shortly, very shortly, just a matter of really days, not years, really just a matter of days, shortly after he denied the Savior, he was also beaten for preaching Christ. And what did he say when he was beaten for preaching Christ? He said, well, am I going to obey men or am I going to obey God? And what he's insinuating there, if you really kind of, you know, utilize the original language with a little creativity, you realize he's saying, this is a no-brainer. I'm going to be faithful to God. Peter was a faithful man. You see, God puts a premium on that faithfulness. Paul was a faithful man. Now, I'm not saying that these men did not have to grow into being faithful men. They most certainly did. Every man who is a faithful man grows into faithfulness. But there is a condition of the heart that is faithful before my volition realizes that condition into a practical reality. It starts with that condition of the heart. Paul was a faithful man despite the fact that he spent 11 years backsliding, and then Barnabas had to come and get him. He was still a faithful man. His 11-year mistake did not nullify the fact that he was a faithful man. He indeed was. And God put a premium on that faithfulness because God wasn't looking at the fact that Paul had certain weaknesses, that Peter had certain weaknesses, that all of us have certain weaknesses. God wasn't looking at those. God was looking at the fact that ultimately Paul's, Peter's, and the rest of them, all of their hearts would respond to God in faithfulness, regardless of their momentary stumble. All of their hearts would respond to God in faithfulness. And God put a premium on that. And we know this because He actually gives a crown. There's only 5 types of crowns given. One of them is a crown for faithfulness. And so, as believers, we have to check our hearts to make sure that we are faithful. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required of a steward to be found faithful. And the steward here is a steward of the gospel. If you look in verse 1. It's required of a steward to be found faithful. In other words, I don't go back and forth. I don't waffle. I don't show up for a little while, not show up for a little while, show up for a little while, not show up for a little while. I don't walk away just because I get a little uncomfortable, or I get singed a little bit by a convicting message, or things get a little bit hard for me, I get a little bit tested. I don't walk away in a momentum test. It's required of a steward. It's not suggested of a steward. It's required of a steward. We are grace-oriented, and we should be, but we also have to realize that the mighty, majestic King does put certain requirements on us. And one of them is that we be found faithful. He develops that faithfulness in us when we have that responsive heart toward Him. But it is required that we be found faithful. Now, in Luke 16 and verse 10, we have here God's reasoning regarding faithfulness. When I say He puts a premium on it, this is a clear example of why He puts a premium on it and what that premium is. The Word of God says, "He that is faithful in that which is the least is faithful also in much." Notice He didn't say, "He that is faithful in much will be faithful in the least." He said, "He that is faithful in the least will be faithful in much." And in the law of contrasts, that also tells me that the person who is not faithful in the least is also one who's not going to be faithful in much. But he that is faithful in the least is also faithful in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Curious, isn't it? God is saying that the opposite of faithfulness here is unjustness. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? Unrighteous mammon is not talking, first of all, the way we think of unrighteousness, and it's not necessarily talking about money. When you hear about unrighteous mammon or the unrighteous judge, that part may be talking, it has to do with any civil kind of a thing. It has to do with anything that is of the earth and earthly. It doesn't necessarily make it wrong or ungodly or sin. It just pertains to the things of the world, natural things. When it's talking about mammon, it's talking about any worldly exchange or provision. So when he's talking about he's not faithful in unrighteous mammon, he's talking about in their daily affairs, in their daily dealings. How do they go about dealing in their daily lives? What does it mean to be faithful in my daily dealings? Am I dealing according to the Word of God? Am I utilizing my frame of reference being established in the Word of God? Or am I utilizing a frame of reference that is established in something else? And if I am utilizing a frame of reference established in the Word of God, then I will be faithful. And that does include things like simple things, things we overlook. You ever see somebody who's critical a lot? That person's not faithful out of a frame of reference that is the Word of God. They're faithful out of a frame of reference that is something fleshly. Ever see somebody who's negative all the time? That's a person who's not faithful. On the other hand, you ever see somebody who always has like this peaceful way about them because they have great peace? Not because they have great ease, but because they have great peace. Why? The Word of God produced that peace in them because they loved the Word of God. And so that person is actually operating in faithfulness. You ever see somebody who operates in integrity toward God and integrity as a result toward other people? That person is operating in faithfulness. You ever meet somebody who's trying to find a sneaky way to get around things all the time and to benefit themselves at the cost of somebody else? That's a person who's not operating in faithfulness from the Word of God. They're operating in a faithfulness to perhaps a lust pattern or whatever. If I'm faithful in the least of things, I'll be faithful in much. People sometimes are worried about whether they're being promoted. Don't worry about whether you're being promoted. Just be faithful where you are, and then God will be able to promote you. Why does God put that much of a premium on it? Because when He's talking about us being just in much, what He's talking about is things like reigning. And if I'm not faithful now, how is God going to allow me to reign? If a person has a call to be a pastor, for example, and that person is not faithful, that person is not in the Word of God, that person does not utilize doctrine in their life, then how is God going to entrust that person with souls, with making disciples? A lot of young guys are really interested in being pastors in some cases, but are they faithful? A lot of people are worried about how am I going to enter into a call. Don't worry about how you're going to enter into a call. Just be faithful. God brings you into the call as you are faithful. A lot of people are worried about, am I going to receive the promise? I don't need to worry about receiving the promise. I need to worry about simply being faithful. Because whether I'm worrying about the promise or not is not going to bring it any 1 second sooner, 1 second later. Whether I'm worrying about an answer to prayer or not, it's not going to bring it 1 second sooner or 1 second later. In that waiting process, whatever it is that I'm waiting for, I need to remain faithful. And then God brings it about. God puts a premium on that faithfulness. Realize something. God is developing for Himself a bride. He wants a faithful bride. Young people, when you get to the point where you're thinking that somebody may be for you to marry, consider whether they are faithful. Consider whether they're faithful to the Word of God. Consider whether they're faithful to their church. Consider whether they're faithful to their family in the right respect, not putting them above God, but faithful within that context. Consider whether they're faithful to you. Recently I heard about a situation where somebody was having an affair. And now they're getting a divorce. Well, when they were engaged, their fiancé found that that person was flirting with other people of the opposite sex. Nowadays, you have to say that. That person was flirting. And they said to themselves, that fiancé, how can I trust this person? Why? Because they were showing them right there and then, in their flirting, that they were not faithful and they were not going to be faithful. Young people, keep that in mind. If you are in a situation where you're considering marrying something and they're over there flirting with somebody else, they're already down that road. They're not going to head down. They're already on their way down that road. It's called an affair. That's how adultery begins. Somebody starts flirting. Like they're showing you that they're not faithful to you. Why? Because they don't have enough regard for you. If they had regard for you, they wouldn't be. At that point, they don't have the regard for you. What they're saying is, I'm not faithful to you and I'm not going to be. A little bit of practicality here, young people. I'm not saying you can't have friends. You just need faithfulness. Watch out with this faithfulness thing. It is crucial. God puts a premium on faithfulness. God puts a premium on faithfulness. If you're not faithful in a little, then God says, I will not be faithful in much. that person wasn't faithful in their engagement when they had a little. They weren't faithful in much when they had a marriage and a family. They weren't faithful. If that happens, it's a big red flag, young people. By the way, if you're the one who's doing it, then that shows you that there's an area in your life where you need to get right with God. Because a lust pattern is more important to you than anything else. Not just more important than that person or God, than anything else. Because if God is actually bringing somebody into your life in that way, and you are willing to go that route, then that which God brings into your life is not important to you. That lust pattern is. So be careful about that, young people. When a person is faithful in little, that person will be faithful in much. When that person is unfaithful in little, that person will be unfaithful in much. Keep that in mind. In Acts 13:22, the Word of God says, when God had removed Saul, He raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom He also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now, David was not a perfect man. David was not a perfect man. In 1 Samuel 13:14, the Word of God says, but now thy kingdom shall not continue, God says to Saul through Samuel. The Lord had sought for him a man after his own heart. The Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded you. What is God saying to Saul? Saul, you were not faithful. And I'm going to choose a man after my own heart who is faithful. That's what it means, that he's after God's own heart. He's faithful to God. David, in his outward life, could not touch Saul with a 10-foot pole. Saul did not commit the wickedness that David had committed. The trouble is that God had already dealt with David's problems. He was looking for David's faithfulness. He was looking for Saul's faithfulness. He was not looking for David or Saul's perfection. See, this is one of the things that we have to understand. That God is not looking for me to be perfect. God just wants me to be faithful. If I want to be used by God, it's not because I am perfect. It's because I am faithful. If I hinder God from using me, it's not my lack of perfection that's hindering Him. It's my lack of faithfulness. The vast majority of the time. Now, if there is active sin in my life, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who fail and then deal with their failures. Because certainly a person who chooses to stay in sin is separated from fellowship with God. But David failed miserably. He didn't stay in his failures. It was part of the faithfulness of David's heart toward God that allowed him to deal with his failures. It was part of the lack of faithfulness in Saul's heart that even though he didn't have major, significant, what we would call failures, he simply would not trust God and faith responses toward Him. So Saul's lack of outward failures, except for a couple issues like, you know, oh my God, there's the Philistines and Samuel's not here and he said he'd be here, I'm going to do the offering myself. You see, we might say, well, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because after all, you want to acknowledge God before you get into it? And so isn't that really all that Saul is doing? No, Saul's not being faithful to what God has said. And that's what God was looking for, a man who would be faithful to what God has said. You don't have to be good or perfect to be faithful. And God's not even looking for you to be good or perfect. Certainly God doesn't want us to sin. But God's not looking for us to be good or perfect. God's looking for us to be faithful. Why? Because if I am faithful, then the rest of my life will fall in line. David had horrendous sin in his life, but he always ran back to God. He was faithful. Peter failed, but he ran back to God. And in the end of Peter's life, his faithfulness is such that, and his brokenness by the love of God was such that, when he was crucified, he didn't want to be crucified like a Savior. He wanted to be crucified upside down. Because he did not see himself as even being worthy to be crucified the way his Savior was. At that point, his heart was extraordinary in its faithfulness toward God. Paul knew he was going to be executed. And what did he say? Be faithful, in a practical nutshell, to Timothy. Be faithful, Timothy. Read 1 and 2 Timothy. Then you find 2 Timothy is the last thing Paul wrote. It was just a short time before he got to see the Savior. And essentially he says to him, be faithful. Be faithful, Timothy. Just be faithful. That faithfulness in my life is a premium. In Matthew 25:21, when I am faithful with that which God has given me, God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, here's the other side of it. If you continue down in that passage, or if you look at Luke 19:17, which is like it, when I'm not faithful in the things that God has given me, there's a reason for that. The reason is that I don't know the character of God. I don't know the character of God. If I know the character of God, there will be two things produced in my life. And these might seem strange to you at first. If I know the character of God, then the love of God will be produced in my life. And that you get. But if I also know the character of God, then the fear of God will be produced in my life. And we often think to ourselves, the two don't go together because perfect love casts out fear. Well, the beginning of wisdom is fear of God, isn't it? You see, we develop in the love of God and we develop in the fear of God. Often the reason why someone is not faithful is because they have an affection for God but not a love for God. When John chapter 4 says, love the Lord your God, we love Him because He first loved. Jesus said, love God, that's the premium, that's the first and foremost commandment. Love the Lord your God. John says it several times. The word there is agape. We don't generally consider our agape toward God. What we often consider, I think, is our filio toward God, our affection toward God. But in Hebrews 13:4, agape is first patient and kind. So am I patient and kind toward God in His workings in my life? Or am I a person who's just not going to be patient with God and His timing, His working, His way in my life? If a person knows the love of God and receives that love and then has that love back for God, that person's not going to have much trouble being patient toward God. But we say to ourselves, how am I kind toward Him? What does that even mean? How often, if we are impatient with God, do we start to accuse Him? Do we say to Him, God, you're not going to do that. God, you said it, but no. It's not going to happen. You're not going to do that. Or we get resentful toward Him. You said... See, there's this thing in us. You know what that is? It's an affection without a love. God isn't saying have affection toward Him. God says be patient and kind toward Him. When I have a patience and kindness toward God, faithfulness is not a problem. And so I live in patience and kindness toward God. The other thing is fear. See, if I'm afraid of God in the right way, I'm not going to cross Him. Now, I'm not saying I'm terrified of God to the point where I won't come to Him. No, you see, I need both. Love and fear. What I need to be is terrified to cross God. Because though He is gracious to me, He's still a mighty King. And so I don't want to cross the mighty King. And so my faithfulness results from a love for God and a fear of God. See, people who don't have that faithfulness, maybe in the way that they conduct their speech, they accuse perhaps, frequent negativity, constantly criticizing the body, never quite happy with anything. That's a person who needs to receive the love of God, but also who needs to start fearing Him. Both. Because that's where our faithfulness comes from. Abraham had to be tested. Abraham had to be tested. Did he love God and did he fear Him? Or did he love Isaac more than God? Did he love God and did he fear Him? At first, no. At first, God said, go into Canaan, and Abraham went everywhere but. But later, when God had developed that faithfulness in him, Abraham gave up the son. You see, God will always test your faithfulness. Why? Because He wants to use you. God will always test your faithfulness. Why? Because He wants to promote you. But without that faithfulness, God can't use you yet. God can't promote you yet. Why? Because I won't stay faithful. Because I'll take, but I won't stay put. And so God is looking for that faithfulness, and He will test us time and again whether we are faithful. That's what momentum tests are about. Momentum tests can take any kind of difficulty in your finances, difficulty with your moods, difficulty with your kids. These are momentum tests. Will you be faithful? God is testing my faithfulness so that He can promote us. And by the way, I say us because when He's testing your kid, He's really promoting the whole family. He's promoting the whole church. And so God tests the faithfulness. When Abraham showed himself faithful, then he became the father of the faith. But not before. In Numbers 12 and verse 7, Moses at first was not a faithful man. But he grew into faithfulness. It took him 40 years. He grew into being a faithful man. But because of Moses' faithfulness, God said about Moses that he's not like another prophet where God will speak in visions or dreams. And remember, at that time they didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. He's not like another prophet. Moses is different, and the difference with Moses was his faithfulness. The thing about Moses was that God spoke to him mouth to mouth, and he gave it clearly and not in what he called dark speeches, like Jesus spoke in parables to everybody but the disciples. He didn't give them things that were difficult to understand. He spoke with him directly. And it says here that the reason for it was because he was faithful. Moses was faithful. And because Moses was faithful, God spoke to him. People say, why doesn't God speak to me? Well, maybe he does. But if I'm somebody who God doesn't speak to, one possible reason is faithfulness. Like, why would God say anything to me if I'm not going to deal with His Word faithfully? If I'm not going to deal with what He said faithfully? Why would He say anything? Why would God give me things that I ask for if I'm not going to remain faithful in those things? Because God's not interested in my tangibles more than He's interested in my heart. Oh, God's interested in the tangibles, but He's interested more in the heart. When the heart is right, then I enter into things because I'll be faithful in them. So I have to recognize this value of faithfulness. It's imperative. It's absolutely imperative. What happens if I'm not faithful? Turn to Psalm 5:9 for a moment. This is one of the characteristics of a person who lacks faithfulness. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. There is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and they flatter with their tongue. Isn't that interesting? There is no faithfulness in their mouth, but their tongue flatters. Inside, it's wicked. Now consider Proverbs 11:13, that a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is faithful of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. So what happens in a person who's not faithful? They become an enemy in verse 8 of Psalm 5. You see, 5:9 is talking about enemies. They become an enemy. And there's this really strange thing, and I've seen this happen. And unfortunately, I've seen it happen many times. That people lack faithfulness to those who brought them up in the Lord. And I saw this happen with Pastor Stevens. People lack faithfulness to those who brought them up in the Lord. And that lack of faithfulness turns them into enemies. They walk away, but they don't just walk away. There's no faithfulness in their mouth. They start attacking. Perhaps somebody in the body did something. They start talking about it now to hurt that church. Or hurt that person. Because there was no faithfulness. Now, the people they want to have impressed with them, they'll flatter. And flattering is not just saying nice things about them. Flattering is any kind of a pretense where I try to make things look good. And those people they'll flatter in front of. But in truth, the things that the contents of their heart isn't the contents of their words. Their words are deceitful. Whenever I see someone who attacks, I see someone who lacks faithfulness. And that lack of faithfulness doesn't just separate, it creates enemies. This is such a ploy that Satan uses, this lack of faithfulness, to create enemies, to create division rather than love in the body of Christ. Now, Jesus said something incredibly interesting about Himself in Isaiah 11:5. This passage, Isaiah 11, is talking about the Savior. And He says, "Righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, and faithfulness will be the girdle of His reins." You ever wonder how it is that Jesus could simply accept what was going His way? Like He's standing in front of the chief priests and He doesn't say anything as they're accusing Him. Or Pilate is questioning Him and He doesn't speak a word and He says, "Why don't you say something?" You ever wonder why? You ever wonder why the stress of it, the pressure didn't get to Him? Not even in Gethsemane. And by the way, in Gethsemane, when He says, "Let this cup be removed from me," He's not talking about the cross. He set His face toward, like a flint toward the cross. He's talking about the atmospheric attack on Him in the garden. Satan tried to kill Him there. The atmospheric attack was so intense that he sweated blood. A condition that is known to medical science, and they say it's very difficult to survive. That was the cup. No. Jesus' emotions, because He was a man, Jesus' emotions were controlled by His faithfulness. You see, here's another thing. You know where the Word of God says, "Great peace have they that love Your Word and nothing will offend you"? Why is it that somebody is offended? Well, because they don't love God's Word. Yeah, but what does that mean? There's no faithfulness to the Word. And so they become offended. If I'm faithful to the Word of God, it's going to be difficult to offend me. Christ was faithful to that which the Father said. And you could not move Him. How many of us, when they start beating, would have said, "Okay, let me explain"? Paul did that. Right? Paul's in Jerusalem. And they start attacking him. And all of a sudden, Paul said, "Excuse me, I'm a Roman." And then the Roman army had to come in and rescue him. That wasn't really the thing to do. He didn't belong in Jerusalem at the first place. He went to Jerusalem because he was sentimentally attached. But the elders in several places who were filled with the Holy Spirit of God said, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, "Paul, don't go there. Stay away from Jerusalem, Paul. They're going to kill you. Or try to." But he went anyway because he had this sentimental attachment to Jerusalem, toward the Israelites. And when he did, he was reacting in his emotions. And when the attack against him came, he was reacting in his emotions. I'll tell you one thing, if Paul reacted in his emotions, I know I would have. But Jesus did not. And the Word of God tells us it was His faithfulness that preserved His emotions. And so, as a believer, that faithfulness of God is powerful protection. Faithfulness to what He said, faithfulness to what He did, faithfulness to Him, faithfulness to the body. It's powerful protection. And it guards my emotions. Because the vast majority of the time when we make mistakes, It's in our emotions. And Jesus was guarded by His faithfulness. See, that faithfulness thing, that is, in Proverbs 28:20, the source of my blessings. So if I'm faithful, then I'm blessed. You want to be blessed in your life? Be faithful. Whatever it is that God brings before you, whatever He calls you into, whatever He has in your life, whatever promises He gives, whatever prayer you have, be faithful. Now, there's a little trick with that. Many men proclaim their goodness, but faithful men are hard to find. Many will proclaim their goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? But whether or not I'm faithful, it's a volitional thing. So I use my volition in faithfulness. It's not a perfection thing. I'm just faithful to the right things. And then I'm blessed. Amen?